Welcome to Life Planning 101, brought to you by Smart Money Group and Kennedy Financial Services in Eastland, Texas. Tune in every week as we share important information to help you and your family live life on purpose. Insurance, investments, legacy and tax planning, and much more. All covered now on Life Planning 101.
Hello, everybody. This is Sam Barker and Aaron Kennedy touching base at the end of this week, giving y'all a quick update. Matt is not with us today. He stepped out to support a team member in graduation. So congratulations on that, Amanda. Yeah. And let's jump into it, Aaron.
Yeah. Big shout out to Amanda. Proud of you for making it all the way through and getting the graduation. That's never very easy. Lots of dedication.
Yeah.
So we talked a little bit earlier about going to Berkshire. The Berkshire meeting, and one of the big things was the big Apple sale, and thought this would be a great time to start talking about it. You know, you could probably look that up pretty quick, but I know Apple is by far Berkshire's largest holding, and it's not by a little bit. You know, he's got some pretty big holdings in his company, Apple, Coca-Cola, Bank of America, American Express, but Apple dwarfs all of them. And he talked a little bit about it while he was up there, and he said he was going to sell because of tax reasons. He said he wasn't scared about paying taxes, and right now capital gains are around 21%, and he said nobody should fault me for selling a gain at 21%. When we just recently dropped down from the 30s, and we've seen it as high as 50s. So I can't argue with that logic.
Yeah, yeah.
Not one bit, but, you know, he didn't sell anything else. So what is the real reason? And I think there's a lot of things moving around here. Number one, he has taken on some risk with it being that big of his portfolio. And probably the real reason all of this noise is being made is Apple's looked at as a zero growth stock right now. It's hard to believe as far as we've come, but, you know, since basically January of 22, we've had the same revenues, we've had the same income, and us silly humans just look at the recent past and said this is going to continue on forever. I know we've been here before, even with Apple stock. It was supposed to be a dead stock maybe a decade ago, and you were very richly rewarded for holding on to it. But let's look at some of these numbers. You know, even with zero growth in income and revenue, they just produced $101 billion in free cash flow. Revenue was somewhere around $381 billion, and out of that, $101 billion went back into the bank account. That is some serious, serious free cash flow. And now they're going to turn around and buy back $110 billion worth of their own stock. I saw some figure, did you see this, where like there was 418 companies out of the S&P 500 that were not as big as Apple's buyback?
No, but that does not surprise me. So whenever you're buying back your own stock as a company, what you're essentially doing, correct me if I'm wrong, is increasing your investors' exposure to the earnings itself.
Yes. We're cutting down on the shares of ownership. So everybody that's still left holding the stock gets a bigger percentage of that. Of those earnings. So it is normally a very good thing for investors. So they not only did that huge stock buyback, but they also increased their dividend by about 4%. And with how efficient this company is, they have a room to do a lot more. I mean, they could seriously push that dividend a lot higher. And, you know, the old adage is, you know, with Tim Cook's looking out there, what do I do with this $110 billion? And he looks at his own company and said, this will be a good investment. And it's not all the time, but usually it's a good sign if a CEO looks at his own company and says, this is undervalued, I need to buy it.
And whenever you're considering, you know, undervalued, we can look at the PE really quick, but whenever one of our main things is return on invested capital. So over the long run, as long as your return on invested capital is beating what, does it make it a good investment? What's that hurdle rate?
That'd just be the weighted average cost of capital. And I think the ROIC for Apple is somewhere north of 50%. So almost 60%. So their weighted average cost of capital is nowhere close to that. But the other thing I think is more important is we don't know what's coming down the pipeline at Apple. Apple right now is rather expensive for this type of growth, of zero growth of what's going on for the last 2 years. It's trading at a forward PE of a little bit north of 26 or so. So it doesn't look cheap from that metric. But also, that's the forward PE that is not that's factoring in zero growth.
Yeah.
What if Mr. Cook knows, hey, this is what's coming down the pipe? So once that growth is realized, now we say, wow, you know, that was a really, really cheap company at that time.
You know, one other thing that I'll say, they have that Worldwide Developers Conference coming up soon.
Yes, that's going to be big. We're going to learn a lot there.
I don't think they've rolled out near as much as most of the other companies in the industry. For instance, I was working on a PDF earlier today, and I kept getting this pop-up of an AI-generated, please use me, I can make your life easier on a PDF document. And I don't know what it'll do, but you don't get that with Apple yet. So I'm curious to see what kind of AI they're going to come out with.
Yes.
That's going to make our life easier.
Yeah. And it's not even being talked about. I mean, it's out there, but, you know, it's not a big push. And that is one thing that's going to send Apple through the roof. I just think that little thing that you hold in your hand's worth nothing. You know, but what is? Apple Pay, Apple TV, Apple Music, iCloud. Yes. How many advertisers know who they can reach because you have an iPhone? That's worth a tremendous amount. You know, they have an Apple Watch. They know who you stand next to and how high your heart rate goes up.
Yeah.
So HelloMatch.com or something. I mean, there's a lot of data on people out there that's not really being monetized. And it's not being realized in the market. So this is too high quality of a company, and I don't think their growth days are behind them. I think we're just in a lull in the development line right now. Sure wouldn't want to bet against them.
No. And we'll be watching that Worldwide Developers Conference pretty closely. I have an iPhone, and it's always exciting to see what they roll out. You know, you can get on YouTube, and you know, quick tricks that you don't know about your iPhone, and you can learn so much of, you know, everything that you're wasting on your phone that you don't even use. It's got so many tools. So I'm eager to see how they implement AI to reveal some of those inefficiencies in use.
Yes. Still got a long road in front of us when it comes to all this, and I doubt Apple gets left behind.
Yeah,
they have more data on people than almost anybody else. So,
and more personal data.
Yes,
your heart rate's very, pretty personal.
Very personal data.
Yeah. So, do we have any other bases we want to touch on Apple? Or I know that it's been a pretty busy week in the market this week. And Aaron, do you have any updates for us?
You know, a lot of the same. There's been no real big surprises in earnings. Earnings have been fantastically good considering where we're supposed to be in this market cycle, where we're beating the earnings and the revenues just like we should. We're actually above average on a 10-year average and a little bit low on the 5-year average, but we're still outperforming almost across the board. So no big surprises there. What the biggest thing I think we're trading on is interest rates. You know, over the last 3 months, we've seen interest rates come up quite a bit. And the market's worried about it because we should be cutting, right? That was the big driver that interest rates were coming down this year, and probably not going to be the case. And, you know, on the short end, the 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, those really aren't moving a whole lot. But the back end, the longer term, the 30-year, the 10-year, those are all pushing up quite a bit. And those are the ones that the Fed has no control over. That's all market. So market is requesting higher income to invest. And, you know, we've seen that actually in the Treasury markets. They've struggled filling their orders. And something came out this week that we got a little bit of a reprieve. I think we're going to start introducing some more liquidity to the market, and the Treasury market really, really liked that. Other than that, some big numbers came out on the consumer today. Michigan Consumer Sentiment Report came out, and it dropped to about a six-month low. It's better than it was a year ago, but it was a pretty significant drop. And a lot of people are citing, inflation, interest rates, fear of losing their job, and people are starting to feel it. And that's not good.
So really quick, taking a step back to interest rates, just very briefly, the short-term interest rates are higher than the long-term, so therefore risk is higher in the short term than the long term. But considering that the long term is starting to go up, would you say that risk across the board, across the spectrum, throughout all the durations is starting to get unsure? So that higher for longer might be really starting to kick in?
It could be. This is one of those things that who knows? You know, in the past, when we have an inverted yield curve, the market fixes itself before we go into a recession. Now, we've been in an inverted yield curve for the longest in history, so we've been expecting it to fix itself, and it just has not. So it could mean a whole numerous amount of things. It could mean that the market does not believe the Fed. No way the Fed's going to keep going to fight this inflation, so that way a short term will be above long term. And it could also mean that it doesn't believe Fed that they can keep them up long enough, you know, because if inflation stays high and the Fed finally gives in a year from now, wouldn't it be nice to own that 4.5 bond when market's coming down to 3.5 or so? So who knows? Who knows what's happening this time, because we're in unprecedented time in history of being this inverted for this long.
Yeah. Okay.
Very, very, very crazy stuff. Some of the most interesting things I've read, got to listen to Starbucks, and they said that on their orders, if you have your daily person that comes in every day, those people are still strong, and that hasn't slowed down.
You're listening to their earnings call?
Yeah. Well, okay. They were on a market show the other day.
Oh, okay.
But one thing he did say was slowing down was the stop-ins, like the... They didn't call it a new customer, but people that don't come in all the time. Just when they're feeling good, they'll go and get a Starbucks coffee. That's dropping way off. McDonald's said something very similar. People are not spending as much money at the counter, so they're introducing new value-based items, try to get people to spend their money. And on the flip side, Airbnb is saying things are going great. Future orders are looking great. So anyways, the consumer, it looks like they are actually making decisions on what's important to them. And the thing, they are starting to make a stand on what they're willing to pay for and what they're not.
Really quick, so on the Airbnb, that could that include some of the scheduling? So the two, Starbucks and McDonald's, is more of a, you know, last week, this, you know, today, and then the Airbnb, those are more projections. You know, we have scheduled out the next 6 months of an Airbnb cabin, so everything looks good. But
yes,
that may be based on what was in my wallet yesterday, not tomorrow.
Yeah, it absolutely could. Or, you know, it could be what's more important, this cup of coffee that I'm getting 2 to 3 times a week that's costing me $40, or, you know, taking my family to Disneyland 6 months from now.
Yeah.
We won't know that for sure, but what we do know is these decisions that the consumers are making now are different than they were in the very recent past.
So it seems like the volatility maybe of consumer spending, you know, it seems like they're probably more trend following than I feel is recent volatility. So
yes. Yeah, just choosing what they're going to spend their money, because we're all struggling, you know, whether it's food or fuel or any of the home payments, whatever it is, it's going up. Real life costs are going up. So how do we make up for that? What are we willing to kick out of our life or reduce our spending on so we can continue to do
what's important?
What's important, yes. So we don't know today, but it'll all work itself out, and we'll figure out exactly what's going on in the future. But that was super important, super interesting. But other than that, the market's been pretty boring for the week. The Dow is still leading the market, which is fantastic. I think it's up for its seventh week. And it's still outperformed the S&P, still outperformed technology. So looks like maybe more of the companies in the market are participating in this latest rally. And the Magnificent Seven or Magnificent Four, whichever one you want to call it, is taking a breather and consolidating at this point. But I will welcome the lower volatility for the week and being bored.
Yeah.
Nothing's wrong with that at all.
No, bored. And time.
Yes. Yeah, so market's behaving very nicely right now. So, you know, try not to worry. I know there's a lot of reasons to worry out there. Market constantly climbs a wall of worry, and boy, you can get trapped in the numerous wars, into, you know, currency wars. Even I think Biden released that he was going to do 100% tariff on all Chinese EVs. You know, there's just every time you turn around, there's another reason to be pessimistic. But don't pay attention to it. That's what sells news. Always has, always will. We're going to keep marching forward.
I was actually reading, this is more on the political side, it's a good thing Matt's not here to shut us down, that there might be some interest in the Democratic Party to have Biden replaced at this upcoming Democratic convention. Have you read anything about that? And if that's a rumor, do you think that could affect markets any kind of way?
Oh, man, yeah, you got political in a hurry. Who knows? I know Our sitting president doesn't have the most favorable following at this point.
He's not winning the popularity contest.
Yes. Yeah. Lots of things are on his shoulders. And there is a big worry that if he is the candidate, people will rebel because they know that another 4 years of this is coming. And his decision-making skills haven't been the greatest. And maybe he's coming of age.
He's in his latter years for sure. So yes. I know that even his supporters 4 years ago, they're all calling for him to be more staunch against Israel, which he's doing. In this, there was a recent announcement that next week there's going to be some kind of arms restrictions. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how those affect our current environment.
Yes. We're going to quickly get to see if this narrative is being pushed on the people, or this is actually the people's narrative. And if it's just what the party wants, we're going to see a mass rebellion, and we will see that in the votes.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, did we touch base on everything? I know we were talking earlier about some interesting divergence in the small caps. We have two positions that we kind of monitor. a cash flow small cap ETF and then the iShares small cap ETF. Do you know what's been driving that divergence? Or, you know, it looks like the iShares is up about 3.7 since April 26th, and then the cash flow, what seems to be either the more value or more quality, depending on how you look at it, is essentially flat. So it's lagging behind by about 2.6%.
Yeah, that's kind of shocking. We really like the cash flow on the small cap, because eventually these companies, go back to Apple, $3 trillion, it's hard for them to continue to grow. But one easy thing they can do is buy growth, buy smaller companies. So the view was that if you can find fantastic smaller companies that are producing lots and lots of cash, that are cheaper than the overall small cap market, these are going to start to get picked off and bought up by other companies. And, you know, you said there's a divergence about 2 weeks ago. So that's short, very, very short term to get any clear picture. But, you know, if I had to guess, it was just maybe we're giving up on the idea that the market is strong enough that, you know, we start having mergers and acquisitions. 2 weeks is nothing. It's just a guess at this time. But it is very, very interesting that those have fallen behind. Yeah. And it could be an allocation to a certain sector or, you know, something like that. But overall, I was not expecting that kind of divergence.
Yeah. Well, if that's it, Aaron, I think we're going to wrap up.
Yeah, everybody have a fantastic weekend.
And that is it on Black and White Market Minute with Life Planning 101.
Thank you for joining us for Life Planning 101, brought to you by Smart Money Group and Kennedy Financial Services. If you have questions, you can email them to lifeplanning@kennedy-financial.com. Be sure to tune in next week for more Life Planning 101. The opinions expressed herein are those of the firm and are subject to change without notice. The opinions referenced are as of the date of publication and are subject to change due to changes in the market or economic conditions and may not necessarily come to pass. Any opinions, projections, or forward-looking statements expressed herein are solely those of the author, may differ from the views or opinions expressed by other areas of the firm, and are only for general informational purposes as of the date indicated. Securities offered through Calton & Associates Incorporated, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Smart Money Group LLC. Kennedy Financial Services and Smart Money Group LLC are separate entities and are not owned or controlled by Calton & Associates Incorporated.